It was you, Mr. Mannering, who gave me the idea. Your sensations from the Orient. Nothing sells tickets like an Oriental touch. I saw it twice, once from the gallery and once from the stalls.
Mannering was frowning. When is she coming down?
Not until the séance, said Mrs. Wells.
He started. What? Not for the party? She won't be here for the party?
Mrs. Wells turned away to arrange the glasses on the sideboard.
No.
Why ever not? Said Mannering. You know there are a dozen men champing at the bit to get a word in with her. They're shelling out a week's wages just to get in the door, and it's all on account of Anna. You'd be mad to keep her upstairs.
She must prepare herself for the séance. I cannot have her equilibrium disturbed.
Poppycock, said Mannering.
Pardon me?
Said Mrs. Wells, turning.
I said that's poppycock. You're keeping her back for a reason.
What do you imply?
I lost my best girl in Anna Wetherill, said Mannering. I've kept my distance for 3 weeks, out of respect for God knows what, and now I want a chance to speak with her. There's no such thing as equilibrium disturbed, and we both know it.
I feel I must remind you that this is a field in which you lack expertise.
Expertise? Said Mannering contemptuously. 3 weeks ago, Anna didn't know equilibrium from her own elbow. This is poppycock, Mrs. Wells. Call her down.
Mrs. Wells drew back.
I must also remind you, Mr. Mannering, that you are a guest in my home.
This isn't a home, it's a place of business. I've paid you 3 shillings on the surety that Anna would be here.
In fact, no such surety was given.
Hear this, said Mannering, who was becoming very angry. I'll give you another piece of advice, Mrs. Wells, and I'll give it you free. In soap business, you give an audience exactly what they've paid for, and if you don't, you'll suffer the consequences of their unrest. It said in the paper that Anna would be here.
It said in the paper that she would be present at the séance as my assistant.
What have you got on her?
I'm sure I don't know what you mean.
Why did she agree to it? To stay upstairs, alone and in the dark?
Mrs. Wells ignored this question.
Miss Wetherill, she said, has been learning to play out the patterns of the tarot, an art at which she has proven to be something of an adept. Once I am satisfied that she has achieved mastery, she will advertise her services in the West Coast Times, and at that time you will be very welcome, as will all the citizens of Hokitika, to make an appointment with her.
And I'll be paying through the nose for the privilege, will I?
But of course, said Mrs. Wells. I wonder that you expected otherwise.
Ah Sook was looking at Mrs. Wells, Ah Kui at Mannering.
This is an outrage, Mannering said.
Perhaps you no longer wish to attend the party, said Mrs. Wells. If that is the case, you need only say so. I shall repay your tariff in full.
What's the point of it? Keeping her upstairs.
The widow laughed.
Come, Mr. Mannering, we are in the same business, as you have already pointed out. I don't need to spell it out for you.
No, spell it out, said Mannering. Go on, spell it out.
Mrs. Wells did not, however. She gazed at him a moment and then said,
Why did you come to the party tonight?
To speak with Anna, and to get a measure of my competition. You!
The first of your ambitions will not be realized, as I have now made clear, and you surely must have achieved the second by now. This being the case, I do not see that there is any reason for you to remain.
I'm staying, Mannering said.
Why?
To keep an eye on you, that's why.
I see.
Mrs. Wells gazed at him.
I think that there is another reason why you decided to attend the party tonight. A reason that you have not hitherto shared with me.
Ah? And what might that be? Said Mannering.
I'm afraid I can only guess, said Mrs. Wells.
Well, go on. Make your prediction. That's your game, isn't it? Tell my fortune.
She put her head to the side, appraising him. Then she said, suddenly decisive,
No, this time I believe I shall keep my prediction to myself.
Mannering faltered, And after a moment, Mrs. Wells gave her tinkling laugh and drew herself upright, clasping her hands together over her bosom. Begging Mannering's leave to depart, she explained that she had hired two barmaids from the Star and Garter to wait on her guests that evening, and the girls had not yet been briefed. They were waiting in the kitchen very patiently, and she would not suffer them to wait a moment longer. She invited Mannering to pour himself a drink from the decanters set out upon the sideboard, and to make himself very much at home. And with that, she swept from the room, leaving Mannering staring after her, red-faced. Once the door had closed behind her, he rounded on Ah Suk.
"What have you got to say for yourself, then?"
"To see Emery Staines," said Ah Suk.
"You've got some questions for him, I suppose?"
"Yes."
"Dead or alive?" said Mannering. "It's one or the other, isn't it, Mr. Suk? It's one or the other at this stage."
He stamped to the sideboard and poured himself a very stiff drink. Mrs. Wells had hired a two-man orchestra, comprising a fiddle and a flute, from the Catholic Friendly Society on Collingwood Street. The musicians arrived a little before 7, their instruments rolled in velvet, and Mrs. Wells directed them to the end of the hallway, where two chairs had been set up facing the door. The only songs they knew were jigs and hornpipes, but Mrs. Wells had lit upon the idea that they might play their repertoire at a quarter time, or as slowly as their breath and coordination would permit, in order to be more in keeping with the tenor of the evening. Played slowly, the jigs turned sinister, and the hornpipes became sad. Even Mannering, whose bad temper had not been assuaged by two fingers of brandy and the cheerful ministration of the Star and Garter barmaids, had to admit that the effect was very striking. When the first guests knocked upon the door, Sixpenny Money was sounding at an aching drawl, putting one in mind not of dancing and celebration, but of funerals, sickness, and very bad news. By 8 o'clock, the former hotel had reached capacity, and the air was thick with smoke. Have you ever watched a magician at a market? Have you ever seen a cup and ball man at work? Well, it's all in the art of diversion, Mr. Frost. They have ways of making you look away, by means of a joke, or a noise, or something unexpected. And while your head is turned, that's when the cups get swapped, or filled, or emptied, or what have you. I don't need to tell you that no diversion's as good as a woman, and tonight you'll be contending with two. Frost glanced at Pritchard uncomfortably, and then away. He was a little afraid of the chemist, and he did not like the way that Pritchard was looming over him,